It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
I'd like for you to have your Bible open today, if you would, to Psalm 43. We're going to look briefly at that psalm today and see what the Lord has for us. And just before we look into that psalm, I'll give you a few seconds, a minute or so, to find that in your Bible. And as we look at this psalm, you as a person today can have hope, because that hope can come from the Lord Jesus Christ as you receive Him as your Lord and Savior. And as a saved person, you already have experienced this in your life, how that the Lord is so good to you. And we can look to Him for our comfort, for our protection. And one day we're going to see Him personally because we've trusted Him as our Lord and Savior. Well, in Psalm 43, and we'll start reading there with verse 1. It says, "Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. For thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, who is the health of my countenance and my God." Well, today we want to look at this subject about the Lord Jesus Christ, how He takes care of us. And there's a question that men ask when the trials and storms of life gather. And often you'll hear people say, "Why do bad things happen to good people?" Well, my question to you today is, has this question ever plagued your mind? Well, it probably has, and I know it's plagued my mind on occasion, but we know that even bad things even happen to good people like ourselves. And you get saved, people say, well, you know, the Christian life is the best life, and it is, but it's not always a bed of roses, and we still have problems. But David, the writer of this psalm, he looked to the Lord, and he asked the question, "Why are you cast down?" We're going to look at that in just a moment. But there was a prominent preacher who was asked that question by a lady. He said, "Why do bad things happen to good people?" And this preacher said, "I don't know. I haven't met any good people." Well, of course, his answer was designed to accomplish two purposes. First, it was designed to remind the lady that we are all sinners, and the Bible says that we've all sinned. We come into the world as sinners because of one man, and that one man, of course, is Adam. And then this preacher also wanted this person to know that none of us are really good people. There's none good, no, not one, the Bible says. And then he wanted her to understand that no one is immune from trouble. And this second truth is driven home in Psalm 43, verses 1 through 5. It would seem that the author of this psalm is going through a time of stress, a personal attack, and inner turmoil. His life has brought him face to face with circumstances that are out of his control. They brought him pain and confusion, and this pain and confusion is brought to his heart. He feels it deeply within. Well, the fact is this. We've all faced times in our lives when we were embroiled in turmoil, pain, and heartache. And those are times of life that define us as believers and confirm or deny our testimony concerning our faith as we look at our love for Jesus Christ. As we read this Psalm 43, it becomes quickly evident that the psalmist is a broken man. Yet, for this, he clings to his faith in God. As this man lifts up his prayer to the Lord, he cries out in despair, "Oh, deliver me!" I want to look at this man's prayer for deliverance from his troubles for a few moments here. I want us to see both the depth of his pain and the height of his faith in the Lord. And we need this because there are times when we all cry out to the Lord, "Oh, deliver me." This psalm offers us some reasons for encouragement in the midst of our troubles. First of all, I see the believer's cry here. From the beginning of this psalm, we're introduced to a man who's in touch with the Lord of heaven. If there ever was a reason to rejoice in difficulty, it lies in the fact that we have access to God. In Him, we find all the help we need to weather the storms of life. First of all, I want you to notice with me in verses 1 and 2, you see a cry for liberty. The psalmist feels trapped by his circumstances, and he cries out to God for deliverance. Do you ever feel trapped? Well, I sure do sometimes, but I'm thankful that our God is the great liberator. Well, the psalmist here wanted to be delivered from, first of all, the slander of men. Verse 1 says, "Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. Oh, deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man." Evidently, the psalmist has been attacked by others. He feels that he's been done wrong, and he's been hurt by the words and actions of others. He pleads for God to get involved and to vindicate him before his enemies. And just so you know, everyone gets done wrong from time to time. When that happens, what are we to do? We're to leave all judgments in the matter up to the Lord and refuse to seek any sort of vengeance. Romans chapter 12, verse 19 says, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord.'" We are to forgive and forget the matter according to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32, where it says, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." And according to Matthew chapter 5, we are to love our enemies. And you know that's not easy when we say we need to leave anything, everything that we feel this needs to be done to a person who does us wrong. We want to get even. Well, it's not easy to say, "God, you take care of this." But as the children of God, we need to look to Him and depend on Him to do as He says in the Word of God what He says He's going to do. And we should not seek the vengeance on our own. You know, sometimes we just want to lash out. But God says, "You leave it up to me, and I'll take care of the situation." Well, not only do I see that, but in this psalm, the psalmist wanted to be delivered from the slander of men, and he also wanted to be delivered from the silence of God. He says in verse 2, "For thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy?" You see, often in the troubles of life, it seems that God is totally unconcerned about our situation, and we pray and nothing happens. We cry out to Him, and there's no answer to be heard. We suffer, and still a pain remains. The psalmist wants the Lord to speak to him about the situation, but the Lord remains silent. I want you to notice that when these times come, especially when it comes our way, we need to remember that the Lord operates in ways that we cannot comprehend. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9, those verses say this, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." We need to understand that God's timetable is not the same as our timetable, and that when it seems He doesn't care, He still knows about our situation, and He will act when the time is right. In Mark chapter 4, verses 37 through 41, the disciples were in a ship, and it says there, starting in verse 37, "And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship." This is speaking of Christ, of course. "He was asleep on a pillow, and they awake him, and say unto him, 'Master, carest thou not that we perish?' And he arose, and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, 'Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith?' And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, 'What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him. Well, we need to look to our Lord for deliverance, and we need to understand that when he doesn't answer immediately, we need to understand this, that his timing is better than our timing. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31 says this, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." Well, the psalmist also wanted to be delivered from the sorrow of heart. In Psalm 43 and verse 2, we read about that, and the psalmist wanted to be delivered from the sorrow of his own heart. He says in verse 2, "Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy?" He's asking himself, why is this going on? His question could be stated like this: "Why am I letting the actions of a few godless people control my life?" And sometimes we can say, "Why am I allowing some people of God to control my life?" And this is a good question. When we reach the place where our troubles and the negative people and the circumstances of life control our joy and steal our peace, we need to ask ourselves the same question: why is this happening? But you know, Jesus has promised us his peace and his joy. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7, where it says, "And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And then again in John 14, 27, "Peace I leave with you," Jesus said, "my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." If what Jesus said is true about giving us peace, and it is, then when we allow the trials of life to take the wind out of our spiritual sails, we have no one to blame but ourselves. No one can steal your joy. You have to give it up all by yourself. Well, the psalmist of Psalm 43 and verse 2 knows where his strength lies. He calls on God because his circumstances are beyond his control. There are situations that he cannot fix, and he knows this. And because he cannot fix the situations in his life, he calls on the name of the Lord, knowing that God alone has the power to fix what he can't. There's no use in you worrying or letting the broken things in your life that you cannot fix consume and control your life. The best thing you can do is learn to bring it to the Lord. Stand in his strength and watch him work everything out for you. Well, we could go on and talk about this psalm. There's so much. This is a treasure, a chest filled full of gold here in this chapter, Psalm 43. And let me say this: if you've never trusted Jesus Christ, you can't claim what we've been studying together here today about turning and letting Christ have all of your troubles. You can't do that until you've received him as your Lord and Savior. And might I say that he's waiting for you? You must respond to him. He's already responded by giving his life on the cross of Calvary, shedding his blood for you. If you will trust him as your Lord and Savior, realizing that he is God, that he is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, I know that some people say he's not God, but he is God. And once you realize that the Bible is true and you admit that the Bible is true and admit that he is God, that he rose from the dead and that he died for you, he shed his blood for you, if you will admit that, admit that you're a sinner and you can't save yourself and there's only one way to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ, then you can claim what we're reading about in Psalm 43. You can claim Jesus Christ as your Savior, and he will take care of you through this life and in the next.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.